A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB, joined in studio with Phil. Hello, Philip.
Hello, Jonathan.
And I'll introduce him in a second because we've got to do a lot of other things first, because you can find us on Facebook, you can find us on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, on Acast, and of course on our new brand spanking Instagram account. Now, I said I'd get back to him because I had to fade him down, I'll fade him back up. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. Finally. I think we almost did that right, didn't we?
You make it look like it's really, really hard work.
It is really hard work. I've got three screens, a mixer, and I've got to control you two, which isn't easy.
And you've got a bell.
And a synthetic bell, which I'll just ring now.
Perfect.
My backup synthetic bell.
Well armed.
Cheers, mate. How are we, gents? How are we on this Thursday evening?
Good. I think I'm turning the smug factor up to 10
after
the Lions team was announced. It was pretty much, except for Farrell, because who's injured, team I said.
We said? Did we pick the team as a team?
Oh, are you not talking like what happened? Oh, suddenly you're distancing yourself from Jarrod Payne.
Jarrod Payne? Tim Swinson?
Yeah.
That's the only shock admission for me. No, Jarrod Payne played, so he couldn't play. JD too.
So you're still saying Jarrod Payne's going to be in the test side then?
I believe he will be, yes.
Ooh.
Okay, mate.
Yeah. Well, strange enough, I put out some feelers today because I'm a bit sick of you saying Lee Halfpenny out of form. So I asked someone who's very au fait with French rugby, and the reply was Lee Halfpenny is out of form. So maybe you are right.
It was good 4 years ago. I'll give him that. I will give him that.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if that daily kick has almost cemented his place in the side now.
Yeah, I do wonder if it has. Mm. Not that Halfpenny would have got that.
No,
it was 57 meters.
Yeah, because those two are kind of like 1A and 1B, aren't they, when it comes to their kicking?
Yeah, I think more's the point is that the Farrell miss might have cemented Halfpenny's place.
I think you're right, Tim. I think that has more effect on it. Because I don't think even Halfpenny would have tried that 57-metre kick.
Yeah, there is something about Daly. I think he might actually be longer range even than Halfpenny. It's hard to say.
It's him and Marcelo Bosch are probably the two longest cannons.
So, back in the day, and they might still do this, you know, but the NFL had a skill competition, and I'll tell you who else had it as well. The NHL definitely had it. So, shooting, passing. I think in the NFL, it was like kick, pass, catch competition type thing.
Okay.
And they should do this for rugby, particularly with the kickers. I mean, there's no downside to it, is there?
Having a high-pressure kicking competition.
Yeah, or like the longest-range kick.
They have done, certainly in the NRL and the Super League, they do the fastest man.
Didn't Lockie Turner win that once?
He did. They did the fastest man in Australian rugby, so all codes.
Wow.
So NRL, Union and AFL. Jarrod Hayne ran in that as well.
Did he? Did he win?
No, because Lockie Turner won.
Oh, right. I thought he meant like different years. Anyway, there have been things happening in the world of the Lions, and there is a team announced.
There is.
So shall we start with that?
Well, yeah, it's exactly the pack that we predicted.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Is there any surprises for you, maybe on the bench?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that we said that Warren Gatland had already said that this will be close to the test side. I don't believe this will be close to the test bench necessarily, because I think this is out of necessity from players who had played in the previous game, guys like Alan Wynne-Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. So Alan Wynn is not on the bench, is he? But Sam Warburton is.
Hendo's in for him, so that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty much as we expected, really.
Except for the injury, Owen Farrell now is going to be touch and go whether he'll make the first test, apparently.
Now, would you be keen to call up a replacement?
No.
And I'm not. Don't mean necessarily.
Oh, I don't know.
Don't mean necessarily for Owen Farrell particularly, but you have lost Hogg already.
Yeah.
And it might just be a good time to call up that extra body now.
Well, Hogg last time was the third choice 10, wasn't he?
He was last year round. If anything happens to any of the other 10s, they're going to have to be calling for Finn.
Finn or Fordy.
Who would you go for?
They both had magnificent games last weekend.
Yeah, they really... it's probably going to be...
Gatland's already organised it, because he's only managed to crowbar in 4 Welshmen into this team for the weekend.
And Wales are in New Zealand, so...
Wales are in New Zealand. He's organised that so we can call on extra Welsh bodies.
And do you remember last Lions tour? A lot of players came to the Lions, didn't they, who were not really Lions standard. I mean, don't mean that in a derogatory way, but Shane Williams wasn't really at the height of his game.
37-year-old Shane Williams.
Yeah, and he was called...
Tommy Court, top boy, but it was kind of convenience, I think.
Very much so, yeah.
There is a rumour, you know, that the... And I heard this on another podcast, so I'm not taking credit for it, but they're going to send a whole plane full of different players to the midweek test... A midweek match in between tests.
What, a whole plane of basically the Welsh squad? Is it going to be?
That's like the conspiracy theory. Yeah.
just one thing, I want to raise this point, okay? Because I reckon, for the very reason that we're talking about, that I think being a Lion is something very, very special, and it is something very, very special. I do believe, however, and this might sound harsh. You shouldn't be able to officially call yourself a Lion until you play in a test match.
No, I disagree.
I don't. They all get a number, and once they appear for the Lions, or maybe it should be tiers of Lions. It's actually like, I'm a test Lion, because that's a very different thing. Because like we say, you could list names of people that are on that list and have one of those unique numbers that aren't.
See, I don't. I'm going to have to disagree with you here. Yeah, I understand why the test is important, but I do disagree with you because. The Lions are slowly building. So the whole point is they're not very good when they show up, even though they're the best players, and they slowly build through. And occasionally guys make it into test team who you never thought would be in the test team.
But they're in a test team then.
Yeah, I don't, that's my point. No, I don't like it because you're all part of that same thing from the start to the finish. You're part of the 45. And if you look at the approach taken by Clive Woodward last time they went, and it was really clear who were in the starting squad and who wasn't in the
squad. Don't treat the fact you win like a squad. I'm just saying almost we've just mentioned a couple of names of guys. I mean, Shane Williams was a Lion previous to that anyway, but
yeah, he was
in the South Africa tour for one, but I don't know. I just wonder if there should be an extra tier of guys that's not to say you don't win as 41 or lose as 41, but I don't know.
Kind of
just a food for thought.
What would you call them?
Yeah, I think it's very elitist, that way of thinking. I do like that you can already... So everyone's a Lion, but then you can differentiate. So, for example...
We all know, don't we? We all know.
Well, no, like, Brian O'Driscoll... People have numbers of test caps. So, like, Brian O'Driscoll or Paul O'Connell, players like that have got 6 or maybe even 9 test caps. So that's probably the best way to differentiate. But everyone who pulls on the red jersey is a Lion.
Exactly. Now,
I get that.
Now, let's talk about the Māori All Blacks. Is that their name, Māori All Blacks? Is it just Māori, New Zealand Māori? I've got a feeling All Blacks is like a commercial term now, and you can't use it unless... Because it's like the Silver Ferns for Sevens. It must be the New Zealand Māori.
I've got Māori All Blacks on what I'm looking at. I'm just going to go to the All Blacks official website.
No, maybe it isn't.
I don't know. I think it's interchangeable, isn't it? Whatever. It's not like when in the Olympics. So I work on the radio in the around the Olympics. You couldn't even say, you couldn't like do like a competition on air which mentioned the word Brazil.
Is that right?
You couldn't even say the word Olympics. So I ended up calling it the big sports day in South America.
pass me some of those South American nuts.
Exactly.
You know the big ones.
Well, there was a cafe in London called Olympic Cafe. It had been there for like 10, 20 years. And when the Olympics was in London, they had to remove the O from the name, so it was Olympic Cafe for the 4 weeks.
I've just checked the All Blacks official website, allblacks.com. Mm-hmm. Do call them the Maori All Blacks.
Oh, there you are then. Wow, I'm surprised at that. I'm actually surprised no one's getting sued, but okay.
Before we get on to them, let me just say a good call on Peter Amani as captain. And I think he will be the test captain unless Alan Wynne-Jones steps back in, which he may well do.
Yeah, well, I think at this stage you need leaders in lots of positions. So it doesn't surprise me one bit, actually.
Yeah, you need leaders right across that team, don't you?
Now, before we move on to the Maori All Blacks, I've got a story for you.
Okay.
Have you now?
Yeah, it's very us, I've got to say. It's in Tim's favourite paper. In fact, probably the only paper Tim buys now, the Daily Mail.
What are you talking about? Daily Mail?
The Daily Mail?
Get out of it.
And it...
I wouldn't even wipe my arse on that rag.
And I think you would read this article head to toe over and over again. So the news is this. Playing rugby with a hangover, no problem. Studies conclude drinking up to 11 pints a night before a game does little to impair performance. I knew it. I absolutely knew it. It goes on to say, scientists tested players to see the effects of heavy drinking the previous night. They were shocked to find that even 11 pints had little impact on the next day. Who were they testing?
And how many times did they test? 11 consecutive days.
My God. No, 11 pints.
No, yeah, but so you got to test them after one pint and see if there's any drop in performance. Then on day two, you test them after two pints.
That's a good point.
Then on day three, after three pints.
That sounds like far more science than the Daily Mail would.
By day 11, you probably developed a bit of a habit. You developed a problem.
Yeah, dependency.
No, there's no drop off.
In fact, yeah, they measure on day 12 with no alcohol, and they're dreadful.
This makes me laugh. The only aspect of players' games affected was the ability to jump in lineouts.
Interesting.
Every other part of their performance was the same before and after drink.
Including Chris Robshaw's decision to not to kick for posts against Wales in the 2015 World Cup.
Because that kind of
high-level decision-making...
Well, do you know what? It is a shame that in the UK there's been the decline of the functioning alcoholic. like, wasn't Churchill a functioning alcoholic? Weren't most like the war leaders that?
Well,
he'd have a pint of champagne for breakfast.
He did.
Or lunch.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're promoting a particularly healthy message here.
Maybe it's just all swept under the rug.
Do you know what I'm going to do before we jump into the marriage? Because it almost fits quite nicely with this. I'm going to tell you another Raging Bull tall story.
Oh, go on then.
Good
so,
idea.
Raging Bull, you can get a 15% discount by going to our Twitter account at Rugby Podcast. There's all the details and a website link there, but it's ragingbull.co.uk. They've got some brand new leisurewear, and the code at checkout is EGG15 for 15% off. Good clobber. I've been asking for your tour stories because there's a Lions tour at the minute. Rich Berry has emailed to contacteggchasers@gmail.com and says, "Hi, Tim, JB, and Phil. Here's my story. I was in the sixth form at a good rugby school in Bristol. We were invited by the old boys' side to go on our first senior tour to France. We were young and carefree and jumped at the chance. The tour was riotous, to say the least. Having arrived at our first stop, the boys hit the red wine hard. I remember the first few hours avoiding a group on the corridor of our hotel who discovered that there was a central vacuum Hoover system that had various plugs into the floor where the cleaners plugged their Hoover components. The guys discovered that if you took the plugs out, things got sucked towards the ducts. So we all tried to see who could pee towards the ducts and get the bend of the flow of urine just right. I headed out to our first game the next day to a tiny club in the middle of nowhere in France. There was no clubhouse and just a squat and drop latrine which stank.
Oh, I hate them. I hate them.
This was located in the corner of the pitch next to the most bizarre shaped in-goal area, which rose by 10 feet in one corner. As we were we chose to go away from that play, and as we started the game, our French opponents would just laugh at us before kickoff. It was soon clear why. They're so used to the pitch and the conditions. As soon as they got any decent ball, the fly half hoisted it into the dead ball area, and the bounce of the slope towards the onrushing backs who touched down in the area where none of our hungover players wanted to go because of the stench. A quite remarkable tactic they used over and over again. So this French team they played. Kick the ball into a field of piss. beautiful story. It goes on. I'll save the rest of that story for another day. But contact eggchasers at gmail.com.
That's where I voted for Brexit.
New Zealand, right there. New Zealand Maori.
Yeah, New Zealand Maori. This is, tell you what, they've picked one hell of a good team.
They have.
Now, let's look at this in a way that I don't really like doing, with facts. So have you got some facts for me there, Phil?
I certainly have. So, Gavin Graham, I mentioned it on last week's podcast, he's done some great work compiling all of the player data for everyone in the All Black team and the Maori All Black team from this year's Super Rugby.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you look at that and trying to, so there's a lot of statistics in here, but you try and identify some key statistics. So as we've discussed previously on this podcast, the three statistics that most correlate with wins are defenders beaten,
yep,
meters made,
yep,
and turnovers, turnover success. But turnover success is not one you can correlate to individuals. It's a team,
right,
performance. It's not an individual stat. So I've replaced that with offloads.
Okay.
So,
in successful offloads or
successful offloads. So, first of all, in terms of meters made,
mm-hmm,
this Maori All Black line, Maori All Black back line,
yep,
has the three most successful players in either the All Black or the Maori All Black squad.
Ooh.
In Damian McKenzie, James Lowe,
and Rico Ioane.
Rico Ioane.
Who, by the way, but he can't wait to see the Lions again after last time.
yes, definitely not. Yeah, it's just business as usual.
Business
for him.
As usual. Hell of a player.
He's an amazing. He's only 20 as well.
Oh my god!
So then, defenders beaten.
Mm-hmm.
We have got three of the top six in this. So it's not even three of the top six. Three of the top five.
Yep.
Have we just lost Tim?
We have lost Tim, but he'll be back. He always comes crawling back eventually.
Three of the top five again: Damian McKenzie, Rico Ioane, James Lowe, are all right up there.
I tell you what, in terms of just name power, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Are these guys looking for kind of a last-minute All Blacks place, or are these two squads separate, completely separate?
So there's a few players who can move between them. Rico Ioane, for example, and Akira Ioane and Kerr Barlow have, mm-hmm, been named in both squads.
Have they?
Yeah, so they could transfer between them. But it does kind of feel like the squads are fairly settled. I mean, when you look at the New Zealand team to play Samoa, that feels like a fairly settled squad, with the exception of the back row, where because of injuries to Liam Squire and Kieran Reid, there could be some movement in that.
Hmm. So, yes, the name power is phenomenal. They're good players, good Super Rugby players. I don't think this team will perform nearly as well as the...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Some of its parts.
Okay.
I think... Oh, here he is. Hello again, Tim. Oh, he's gone again. Yeah, I don't think it's going to...
Yes.
There we go. Yeah,
Hello.
Hello. Sorry, we just... was kind of summarising that there is some serious, serious firepower.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a summary. You know me, I don't care for stats.
That's where you ducked out.
A couple of minutes, just went for a brew.
Yeah, good idea.
I'm joking. Yeah,
and now the Libertines. Press that button and then back on the podcast. yes, so I'm about to tell Phil that I actually don't think that this All Black, or Maori All Black team are going to be as good as some of their parts. I think they're basically another barbarian style team. The Lions will be ahead of them in terms of preparation, in terms of individuals. You know, obviously they're very, very, very talented. I think the Lions will have the advantage. I actually think this will be a rather large Lions win. This could be the largest win that they have on tour.
I do think the Lions will win. I do think it's because this isn't a team in the same way as the provincial sides. I agree with you. However, they do play together more than... I would point two things out. They play together more than a barbarian side. It's quite regular that they will have an outing together.
Is that right?
Well, yeah, and they play together most times the All Blacks get together. But it's not necessarily the same group of players.
Same group of players. And the second point I would make, as I have said before, that the general basic skills of these guys means that you can slot them in and out. And you see this with a New Zealand squad. You take a player out, you put a completely different player in, no difference in performance. And I think that's definitely, those basic skills are such that they have rugby brains. They're just wired differently from a young age. And so I don't believe it'll be an easy win, but I think the Lions will sneak it.
So I think it will be a Lions win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fairly confident. This is just about the strongest team that the Lions can put out, and it's certainly the strongest team available considering the injury to Faz and those who played in the midweek game. The back line has some serious firepower for the Maori All Blacks. The pack is probably not as strong, and I think if the Lions can get their pack firing, which is a hell of a strong Lions pack.
It is.
Yeah. It really is. You've got that core of Saracens who have been so good for the past few years.
Yeah, I was going to say it's worth pointing that out because there's four Saracens guys without Billy Vunipola.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Tell you what, how much of an asset would Billy V be on this tour?
Oh.
I mean, I do feel they're just a little bit light on eight. It's either Standard or Faletau over and over again.
Yeah.
But I mean, they could, and if everyone was fit, there would be six Saracens in a Lions team. That is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair play to whoever manages their salary cap. Well, it's some achievement.
Well, now, hold on. Every single one of them as well is... I know Mako joined from Bristol.
And Billy joined from Wasps.
Five of them were... And Billy as well. But four of them were Academy products and two of them were signed when they were both still teenagers.
As far as I'm concerned, they're Saracens players.
Yeah.
Tell it, their next round of contract negotiations are going to be eye-wateringly high.
But because they get the academy credits and the England credits, they should be able to pay them more than any other Premiership team. Oof,
still, yeah. Well,
it's still, yeah. They are going to be paid. They are going to be paid. And they deserve an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. They really do.
I'm going to say this is going to be the bellwether for the rest of the tour. They need to win this game by about 15 points to have a chance against the All Blacks.
I would probably go with that. I would actually maybe go a little bit further and say, when you look at that All Blacks test team, it's a step up even from this Maori All Blacks team.
Mm.
It's a big step up, actually. So if the Lions win by more than 20 points, then
it's on.
Then they've got a chance of beating the All Blacks. Otherwise, it's just we're still in the position where we all say New Zealand 3-0.
I'm still saying 3-0, but I think the game's going to be much tighter than we originally thought. Especially the first one.
What happens if this game is a 12-3 or something similar to last week's, or a marginal win?
It's going to have to... Well, if it's a close win and the Maori don't get any tries, I'll take it.
Okay.
I think it's going to be purely dependent on the performance. I mean, I want to see a better performance, but this time I want the result to go with the performance. And that result to me has to be 15 points.
Yeah. Okay, I can take that.
Tim?
Yeah, I'm looking at the All Blacks team that are playing in Auckland and taking on Samoa. Crikey, that is a frightening back line.
It's
that is a frightening backline.
Backline and the pack as well.
It's, well, all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of it. You've got the caveman and Lurch in the second row. Metallic and Whitelock up against Marrow and Cruz, or Alan Wynn and Cruz will be... Oh, what a battle.
I can't wait. I love looking at the battles, which, you know, is like second row battle. I mean, it's so hard to say who's going to get the upper hand, because we've seen Marrow, we've seen Cruz play against teams like Claremont, and it's just it's a war. It's just it's so physical. But yet these New Zealanders, not only are they physical, they're maybe not quite as physical, but they're just so skillful.
Yeah,
it's going to be fascinating. Whichever way you look at it, it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
So is it worth just quickly running through this the All Blacks team?
Yeah, absolutely.
Team, yeah, go on then.
So
if anyone hasn't seen it,
front row: Joe Moody, Cody Taylor, who's in for the. For Dane Coles, who's still got concussion issues, which is a little bit worrying. And then Owen Franks. You got Brody Retallick and Sam Whitelock, arguably the best second row pairing in the world, even when you count Crew Todgy. You've then got possibly the area of weakness, but Sam Kane, then Jerome Kano is back. Oof. Back and fit.
My favourite All Black.
But his first game in quite a while. And
you made this point about a month or so ago, the difference, that the fact they get a game under their belt first, we're not going to catch New Zealand cold like we hoped maybe we would.
I would just like to point this out. I know I've said it a few times. You cannot appreciate the majesty of Jerome Kano unless you're actually on pitch level with him.
In his path.
Oh, he is such a specimen. It's hard to describe. Even more so than Sonny Bill.
Oh, Sonny Bill. Seeing him close up in the flesh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
I want to see his age 10 shorts in the flesh.
I'm wearing Sonny Bill shorts right now, actually.
Not quite tight enough.
No, they're not. Really.
I actually would also say that an unbelievable specimen in the flesh is George Cruz.
He's enormous,
yes,
isn't he?
He's absolutely enormous.
I know I've told this story God knows how many times, but when me and Britton, a friend of the pod, Brim Williams, went down to meet the England team, the two guys that stood out to me as being enormous were Cruz and Marler. Just enormous men.
Marler's massive.
So, yeah. What were we saying? Jerome Kano. Wow.
Jerome Kano. And then number eight is Ardie Surveyor. So, Kieran Reid and Liam Squire both injured.
Now, I love Ardie Surveyor. He's a hell of a player. He's a good ball carrier.
Great 80s haircut.
Yeah, great 80s haircut. Lively, bit of X-Factor, can steal ball. I just don't know if he's an eight. I mean, do you have much footage of him playing Hurricanes at eight?
He's played a bit there this season. His big advantage at eight, so he's not 120 kg or 120 plus kg like Billy Vunipola.
He's not an off-the-base bosher kind of, you know, tidying up scrumble, but he's an absolute weapon in the loose.
He's so fast.
Yeah, he is.
He's unbelievably he might be the fastest loose forward currently playing the game.
Wow. Is he the fastest guy with the surname Surveyor?
He's probably a few kg lighter than the other Surveyor.
Why don't they swap positions?
they could do.
You know, like field dependent, I'd be up for that.
So
that might be a handicap idea. The Barretts and the Surveyors have to pick their position out of a hat.
Yeah, Bowden Barrett in the second row.
Yeah, exactly. But I've always wondered this, Tim: who would be better at their brother's job? You at your brother's job, or your brother at your job? I'd pay a lot of money to see both.
Oh my god, I would pay a lot of money to hear my brother doing radio or doing live TV, because. He's not a talker, but I would die.
I would pay so much money to watch you play against Claremont.
Yeah.
Tim, for 80 minutes.
Backing down in the second row.
Give me a bit more, Tim.
So, Surveyor at eight, you lose a little bit in terms of carrying in heavy traffic, which there are plenty of guys who can do that, but just the pure pace and acceleration when things break down is incredible.
Mm.
Then I feel like they've kind of gone for tried and tested in the back line a little bit. The more exciting players are arguably with the Maoris. So Aaron Smith has edged TJ Perenara to retain his starting berth at nine.
Mm-hmm.
Bowden Barrett is obviously at 10. You've got Sonny Bill Williams playing his first All Black game since the World Cup final in 2015.
Is that right?
Yeah, because of injury. He had the Olympics where he got injured. I think it was in the...
Did he play some rugby league as well?
He might have played some rugby league.
He played some rugby league and then he went to the Olympics and then he's back.
Then he's... Well, he got injured either in the run-up or at the Olympics. But he's now back. He partners Anton Lennett-Brown in the centre, with then Surveyor Israel Dagg on the wings and Bin Smath at fullback.
So, can you just clarify this for me? Between the two senior squads in New Zealand, there is no room for Vince Orso.
Yep.
Or Map, whatever his name is. Mappy, or what's his name?
Lau Mappy.
Lau Mappy.
So, no, they're not in either squad. So, Vince Orso has not been called up to either squad. Lau Mappy has been called up to the All Blacks squad, but is not in the 23.
This country is ridiculous.
No Bundiaki either.
Huh?
No Bundiaki.
What
centre either?
What, for the Lions?
No, for New Zealand. No Benteo for New Zealand in the centre either.
No, that's a good point.
No
Comrade Smith. No Nonu. I mean, the list goes on.
No Waisaki Naholo as well.
Oh, my God.
Who obviously did play on Tuesday.
Do you know who the big winners are here? Vince Orso and Lau Mappy, because some French team is going to snap them up.
Well, transfer rumour. Have you seen which... So you mentioned two centres. It's a different centre who's not in the All Blacks squad, has allegedly been offered a contract at Toulon.
Ooh, who would that be? Someone not... Well, one of those two, I guess.
No, another centre. So a third one who's incredibly talented and not in the squad.
Would it be that... what's his name? Plays for the Blues outside centre.
No.
What is his name?
George Mwala? Yeah.
Okay. Who else might they go for? Inside centre.
Outside centre.
Outside centre.
Played on Tuesday night for the Highlanders.
Oh. Fekitoa.
Fekitoa.
The mind boggles with the talent that they have.
Yeah, it's incredible.
They're letting James Lowe go to Leinster as well.
They are.
That's a bit different, that one, apparently.
Yeah, it is. But he's in the Maori side.
He is in the Maori side, and he's playing phenomenally well. Obviously, yeah. You missed it, Tim, but he's top three stats for metres made and defenders beaten out of all of the wider All Black and Maori All Black squad in Super Rugby at the moment.
Wow.
You can't do anything, can you? They just stare.
And offload, offloads as well.
It's unfair. It's just unfair. It's not in the spirit of the game to be that much better.
Well, it's just annoying. I mean, Australia are really suffering. Could they just not give them a couple of centres?
Anyway. Our friends at Green and Gold will love that.
Well, you know, if they want to save the game, don't hog all of the talent. Simple. right. Okay. So, shall we try and steer this podcast back to what we're meant to be doing? What are we meant to be doing?
I think we've done what we're meant to be doing, wasn't it?
We've pretty much done it.
Oh, sound. Brilliant. Well done, lads. Before we go, do you want to read out the England team?
I do. It's pretty simple. It's exactly as last weekend, except Piers Francis's wonderful cameo debut has led him to a starting place at 12 in place of Lazowski. And Tom Curry and Mark Wilson, who were both excellent, have dropped out in place of Sam Underhill, who comes in at open side, and Chris Robshaw, who comes in at blind side.
And do they have another test, or is this it?
I think this is it off the top of my head.
What a shame. It's been a good tour. Well, if this is a good game, it's been a great tour.
Well, yeah. The one game so far was magnificent. So
yeah.
Good start.
Excellent. Anything else? I feel that we're missing something.
Australia, Wales, Scotland.
Thomas Young's making a start for Wales.
Yeah.
Getting capped.
Yeah.
Carl Ferns has confirmed he's not going to Gloucester, as we talked about for months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's been quite defensive, actually.
I've got some great stories about that. Some great stories. Mm. But you'll
let's save that for Sunday then.
Yeah. Well, no. I'll have to wait on that for a little while.
Okay.
Okay. Scotland, Wales. Oh, Wales are playing tomorrow.
Wales are playing 6:30 a.m. on Friday morning.
Perfect. That'll be a huge TV audience.
Which, yeah, I can't imagine that's going to get much of a TV audience in either Wales or Tonga.
Maybe Tonga. Maybe a few.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a few people watching it.
Yeah. I just don't see the point.
I was going to make a joke about something I said back in the day, but I'm not going to...
Please don't. Yeah, this Wales tour is a little bit of a washout, really. I mean, it is about to get going. I can't help but think it's there strategically to help the Lions out.
Can we offer them Rob Howley maybe to help them out, make it a bit better?
I think Rob Howley's going to come good this weekend.
You're more optimistic than I am.
We will see.
Right.
We'll be back with a short podcast. Or we'll be back with a podcast after the game at some point.
Yeah.
With a quick flash reaction, and then we'll have the full podcast, which will cover all the international rugby and any Lions news, gearing up for that first test.
Oh, actually, before you go, Tim.
Yeah.
Bit of a trivia question. What happened today?
Today. Any more details?
In the world of rugby. Something happened today. If you looked at players' Twitter accounts, you would have noticed. And it's something... so most of them today, some of them yesterday.
Oh, hold on.
Pre-season.
Pre-season has started.
Oh, yes.
And what are we in? June,
middle of June.
15th of June, they're back in work.
2 weeks after the Avicii Premiership final and a week after the Top 14 final.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. So the grind starts again now, boys.
Back to the meat grinder.
Yep.
Delicious.
Right.
Go on then, Tim. You can outro us.
Well, you know where to find us. Subscribe on Acast and on iTunes, and every single episode will get delivered straight to you. Find us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and keep listening. Tell your mates, let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Sweet, I'm going to go.
All right, mate. See you in a bit.
Nice.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.